work on that verse this week. And if you would, tonight, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. And we're going to continue our family basics series, Understanding Authority. Understanding Authority. And we're going to read Ephesians 6, and then we're going to turn over to Colossians and read a passage that's very similar to what we read in Ephesians 6, but I want to read both together tonight before we dive into this. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, and verse number 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is..." Oh, let's try that again. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is..."
Right.
Right. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Look over at Colossians. You're in Ephesians. You have Philippians and then Colossians to your right. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 20 and 21. Colossians 3 and verse 20. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Who is it well-pleasing to? To the Lord God, yes. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Heavenly Father, I ask tonight that you will help us to see from your word this important matter of authority and how we as parents must exercise it. Help us to see the correct way to exercise authority in the home. And I pray that you would help even those tonight that don't yet have children, that their thinking would be shaped by your word, and that there would be even a desire now to follow a biblical pattern of authority in the home so that you would be glorified. And we'll thank you for what you'll teach us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I just have to remind you as a church that one of my prayers as a pastor is for the continuation of what we know of God's truth into another generation. I am a young pastor, I think. I feel more and more pains all the time. But relatively, you'd say, "Oh, you're a young pastor. You've got young kids." But I want my grandkids to follow along in the same things that I would teach and preach you. I want my great-grandkids to. Isn't that exciting? And my kids are probably in the process that, wait a minute, that means, yeah. Well, all things being equal, there's a chance that I'll have grandkids. And I'm praying for that one day, if God would allow that. Many of you have children or grandchildren or maybe more. Some of you in here have no children. You have no spouse. Do you know that God is interested, though, in our having families that honor Him? He is interested in that. And it is not something that you have to think, well, it's really not in my hands how my kids turn out or what happens in the future. I'm just going to hope for the best. I've heard people say things like that. And that's not really the kind of parenting paradigm that I think the Bible teaches of just, well, you just try and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Well, I know what you may mean by that, but at the same time, if you're young and you don't have kids yet or you have young kids, I want to encourage you tonight to consider a biblical mindset of authority in the home that will help you accomplish something. Maybe you're a grandparent and you're going to listen to this and say, "Yeah, okay, that's true, but what does this mean for me?" You might pass this along for your grandkids or your children to listen to and just say, this might be an encouragement to you. Because I do believe all of us have room to impact other people because there's a dearth for biblical instruction on the home and a good understanding of how to raise children in a way that will please God and that will not push away the kids. Because as we're going to see tonight, this passage addresses something that is, I think, frustrating, is that you can be too strong, and I say too strong, without love and do damage. In fact, I think that's the admonition that verse 4 in Ephesians 6 gives us, is that fathers aren't to provoke their children to wrath. But that doesn't mean, on the converse side, that we don't do anything. Because, well, I don't want to be too harsh. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want. Well, that also is going to cause trouble because if children are to obey, as the passage teaches, then it demands that someone instruct them in what God wants. And we saw last week, your home needs Bible authority. This passage is important for your home because God knew the church in Ephesus, the church in Colossae, both needed to be instructing their children. They needed to be giving direction, in particular, that they would obey their parents. And I said this last time, the parents' obligation is to expect this. It's not your kids' job to realize, oh, God's word says I'm to obey. Now, it's great when they do see that, isn't it? When children wake up and say, I am supposed to obey my parents. I want to be doing what God wants. That's great. But parents at the outset, even my youngest of kids, I've told you, I need to be instructing them to obey early on. That's my responsibility. And so, and I mentioned last time, Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 or 3 was reminded by Paul that you had someone instruct you in Bible truth. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Well, it takes instruction, doesn't it? And it takes instruction from within the home. Your home needs authority with love, we talked about last time. We'll expound on that a little bit more tonight. But that nurturing, that tutoring that goes on in the home is the place where love is seen. Love is spelled by kids with the letters T-I-M-E. And it takes time to instruct and to encourage them in what is right. Not just correct when they do wrong, but love is seen when I take time to invest in their life, and especially when they're young. Resentment, I said, will kick in if you force them to live without your input. If you don't give input, that's going to cause resentment, and it will shut them out later on from wanting to listen to you. So early on, it's important to give that time to your children in love. I said, thirdly, last time, your home needs authority instructed. That's what the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the instruction that says, this is what you should be doing, this is not what you should be doing, and I'm going to correct it if you don't. And you are teaching and instructing all the time with your example. The example of your life, the consistency or the inconsistency of your life. That's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it, parents? Yes, it is. It's a challenge, isn't it? By the way, is it a challenge for every Christian to be consistent? Yes! I think it's good for young Christians to hear older Christians say, I still have to work on being consistent. You know whose dependency I have to put in to have consistency in my life as a Christian? It's in the work of the Holy Spirit of God and His working in me. I'm trusting what Christ has made possible, not just me. And parent, when you read things like this, don't think, well, I just have to work harder at being a better parent. You need to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God to be this parent. You need to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God as He prompts you. You're not being consistent. Okay, I need to be consistent in this area because the Holy Spirit of God is prompting me on this. I need to rely on His help to be the parent that I should. And I mentioned not only your example is an instructing area in your life, but also the example of others and how important it is to have others influencing in your family. Know who your kids' friends are. Think about the influence of the things that you watch or that your kids watch with you or without you. Those things are important. They're not, well, it's just a cute show. In fact, who was it? Oh, it was a friend of mine that I was just talking with recently said that he had observed, and this may throw you for a loop, okay? I haven't said a lot about movies, but I thought that was a good point. He said he noticed that even in the cleanest of Disney videos, movies, okay, and this isn't a commentary on Disney tonight, okay? But in any of them, there's always a happy ending without anything relating to Jesus Christ. Now stop and think about that for a minute. Happy endings without any involvement of God. Do you think that our culture knows what a true happy ending is? Do you think your kids do? Now, I know you're thinking, you are overanalyzing this, Pastor. Well, I want to ask you, how many things would your kids say happy ending is the result of, and what would those things in the in-between be? You know, that's a really, I thought, whoa, I've never thought of that. Now, what that requires for you as a parent is if there is a movie or something that you watch where there's a happy ending, you don't need to be the killjoy and say, that's not real. That's not a happy ending. I know that I could sound a little bit over the top here. But I do think you ought to recognize if something is constantly demonstrating the happy ending, but there's nothing about the work of God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus and what he's done in that, that paints a picture for our children. Just food for thought. You're a responsible parent for the influences in your children's life. Public education is one of those influences that is going to attempt to instruct. And I just want to remind you, parents, to have awareness that things are not positively helping you in this area, in the public school system. And you may say, well, you know, I went through the public schools and I had good teachers, and I know many of you know good teachers. We have good teachers here in our church that are in the public schools. I just recently met with public school teachers here in our church, and I met a public school teacher just recently who was sharing how amazed she was with things that have changed in the public schools, even in late days. And if someone lately sees that there's more dangers than there have been before, you ought to take note of that, parent. You ought to take note that there are agendas being pushed. And we'll talk more about those on Wednesday night as we continue that series on the false promises of peace. But there are many things being promoted to kids in the public schools that are not going to help them know God in his opinion, obviously, and that are going to be against you as a parent being the voice, even in that home. So you ought to know the things that are influencing you and your children. Tonight, let me focus on a fourth area that we need to understand in the home, and that is that your home needs directed authority. Your children need you to be a director of authority in the home. And I want to give you a couple of things about this. When you look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There is an establishment about something that has to be. This is not an optional thing. This is not a, if you would like to. Parents need to, and children must, know that it is right for them to obey. You see the same thing in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, someone is going to have to direct them into what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And I would say tonight, this matter of directing them can be done in a number of different ways that often are not helpful. I want to give you a couple of patterns of parenting or of authority that are not good ways to direct. Now, sometimes seeing the not good way helps us more clearly see the correct way. All right? And I hope that you'll pay good attention. We'll be writing down some things in just a moment. I know an older pastor whose children and grandchildren I have observed their life patterning what he taught. And he wrote a book about parenting that I appreciated very much. If you'd like to get a copy of it, I'll give it to you. I'll get more of them. And I think it's important to observe people who write books about parenting in their children and grandchildren. I think that is important because while he is not perfect, and he would readily admit this, he has desired to follow the Lord in patterns that would please the Lord. And some of the things he shared, I thought, that would be helpful for you all to hear tonight. And I know him and his grandchildren and his children, and they're living it. Do you believe that Bible truth can work? Yes, it can work. Do you want to listen to people who tell you how it's supposed to work, but it doesn't look like it's working? No. And so what I'm sharing with you is something, and I would ask you to consider, if you're a parent of young children, ask parents of children who you see them now grown, and you see that there is a love for God and the things that they were instructed from their parents, and ask them, what are some things that you did that helped you in parenting? That's always beneficial, parent. To ask people who have been through this and say, what was a help to you? That's something Lindsay and I did. And it was a great help to us. And we're continuing to do and will keep doing. You can do that, okay, parents? And those of you that are single and don't even have kids yet, you have a great resource in your eyes, observation of parents and children who it's working. Ask them questions. Well, this man, this pastor mentioned, he had two rules in his family. One of them was, number one, do what you're told to do when you are told, how you are told it is to be done with the right attitude. We've talked about this already with regard to obedience. That's a very similar definition of obedience. Do what you're told to do when you're told to do it. He mentioned how you were told to do it and with the right attitude. That's a good way to establish what Ephesians 6:1 says. Wouldn't that be a good way to help your children obey? Is if the expectation was, do what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, how you're told to do it, with a right attitude. Okay, he gave a second one, though, which was, I thought, very helpful. The second rule was right in line with this, and I think it'll help you understand what we're going to look at tonight regarding directed authority. He said, number two rule was, you are not to do anything that you do not already know to be okay without permission. You say, what? You are not to do anything that you do not already know to be okay without permission. And those of you who are parents, why do you think that's a great rule? Because what will kids say? Oh, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to. How many of you have ever heard that one? Yeah. Or, you didn't say I couldn't. Or, I didn't know it was wrong. You never told me. Well, guess what this was? It was a rule on his part to help direct his kids. You are not to do anything that you are not already that you do not already know to be okay without permission. And if they are going to want to do something, what is that going to necessitate they did with their dad? If they didn't know if it was okay, what did they need to get?
Permission.
What does that require? Communication. Talking. Parent to child. Child to parent. Now, he said in his book, we began our quest for a well-trained child by first taking control of everything they did, knowing this would enable us to accomplish the task we were required to do. I'm going to read that again because you may think, "Do what? You were taking control of everything they did?" He said, we began our quest for a well-trained child by first taking control of everything they did, knowing this would enable us to accomplish the task we were required to do. And some of you may be already thinking, well, that sounds like a helicopter parent. Have you ever heard the term helicopter parent? Yeah. You know, the parent that's just hovering over their child and everything that they're going to do, the parent is there. That's helicopter parent has this like derogatory terminology to it. Well, there's one part of being a helicopter parent that we're going to actually look at tonight that I do think is wrong, is not helpful, is not beneficial, it's not biblical, and that's to be hovering over without love, to have control but not care connected with that. But what this parent said, this pastor said, I think you need to catch. He said, to accomplish the task we were required to do, he needed to take control of everything that they did. Now, are you as a parent responsible for what your children will do? Yes. You know, taking responsibility is something that our culture doesn't promote. Ownership and responsibility, it's about passing it on to someone else. It's their fault that my kid, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It was my parents' fault, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, in many cases, parent, you need to take the responsibility to own obedience. And the directing of authority in the home needs to come from you. Can a parent be too involved with their child's training? And I would say no. A parent could be too unloving in that controlling. But to say that they're too controlling, we're going to consider tonight that we don't give up authority because there is the possibility of abusing it. You don't say, well, if there's a possibility of me being too controlling, then I guess I just need to be more permissive. That's going to be the temptation in your heart, is to say, well, I want to make sure that they have plenty of freedoms. Well, recognize tonight that you can give your children direction without stifling them. And I want to challenge you as a parent that that works. I am thankful for parents who demonstrated that. Not always perfectly, and I'm not perfect in any respect, but I know that it's possible to give direction without stifling your child, without hurting them with a unloving or uncaring way. So let me give you a couple of things tonight as you consider discerning that balance of authority that's going to be directed in your home. If it is important for me to teach my children to obey their parents,
because it's right, because it's well-pleasing to the Lord, we have to consider the ways in which we're going to create those boundaries, the way that we're going to instruct them, the way that we're going to direct authority in our home. And by the way, all of us will direct who are parents. You will direct, just where are you directing them? That's the question you ought to be considering tonight. How are you directing? It's not a question of if you will direct. You are directing. It's a question of where are you directing them to. Here's the first way in which you can direct authority. Neglectful authority. Neglectful authority. Neglectful authority I would call low care and low in control. A parent who doesn't seem to care and a parent who doesn't seem to have control or interest in giving direction. That would be a lot of parents in our culture today, I believe, who do not seem to have interest in the direction of their children or that they're giving any care about what their kids are doing. My wife could readily tell you stories of kids in the inner city of Chicago where her family worked, and she often worked with them in inner city Chicago, and kids that would be running around, I mean, young kids, 1.5, 2 years old, no parents in sight. It would make your heart break to see the kinds of things that kids grow up in, and then to wonder why things are where they are in cultures around our country right now. A huge part of that is because parents are not interested. A huge part of that is that parents are not interested. But I would say that's not just in inner cities. That can happen in a home where the kid is just given a device and parents are glad that the kid is away and not bothering them. Don't bother me right now. I'm busy. I can tell you, in both cases, that's not healthy. That's not healthy. You know, the Bible speaks about, I think, a good example of low care and low control family authority. We'll look at 2 Kings chapter 17. And I'm probably not going to get as far in this as I wanted to tonight. 2 Kings 17. We've got to move along here. 2 Kings 17 and verse 15. This is a horrendous time in the history of Israel. Absolutely awful things are taking place in 2 Kings 17. And I want you to consider what the Bible says in 2 Kings 17 and verse 15. Notice the very first thing that it says of the children of Israel. And they rejected his what? Statutes. 2 Kings 17 verse 15. They rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were around about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them, and they left all the commandments of the Lord their God. You ought to underline that statement. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God. That would include some very important ones that we'll think of in just a minute. And made them molten images, even 2 calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal, and caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. Would you call that caring parents? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Now, I know there's a whole lot of context there that we could talk about and what's going on, but over and again, you find in the Old Testament the matter of passing through the fire of Molech, the idea of even human sacrifices being a common thing amongst these pagan nations. There's no way in the world you can say you care for your kids and allow for that. That makes no sense, does it? Not at all. Not at all. Okay. Why was the care for children lacking? What did they give up first? The truth. They gave up the truth of God's statutes, his commandments to them. Were the statutes and commandments of God just about idols? No. No, it was far from that. God gave them direction for every aspect of their life. And did he give them instruction regarding parenting? Yes. Yes, he did. And I will tell you that their low level of love for their children is obvious, but so is their low level of self-control. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God. They left it. And that would include teaching and correcting of their children, I believe for sure. Now, you may see in our culture different aspects of how people with low care and low control exist in parenting and authority giving, but in every case it only hurts the child. It only does harm to the child. It doesn't help a child for there to be parenting and direction of authority given without care and without the right kind of control. And a child, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth what? His mother to shame. The lack of control and the lack of care is going to result in a kind of shame that is hard. It's painful, and it's real. And I would challenge you, if you want to avoid the neglectful authority paradigm, stay in the Word of God and surround yourself with sound teaching. You know, these individuals in 2 Kings involved things in their life that they should well have known were not what God wanted. There's an obvious rejection of what God says and God's authority. And by the way, that is the reflection of our culture today. A rejection of what God says and what God thinks is being demonstrated in how people parent, how people raise their children. It is an absolute indicator of their opinion of what God thinks and says. And so neglectful authority is one kind of authority that you ought to consider and you ought to consider avoiding. It's the wrong kind. Here's a second one to avoid. Permissive authority. Permissive authority. That would be high in care, and I put care in kind of quotes, high in care, low in control. A parent who says, I really love my child, but uses their so-called love to allow things to be permissive. They're not uninterested in their child, but they're not doing anything where they should. They should be stopping things, but they're continuing to allow it to go on. A parent who allows the kids to lead instead of leading the kids. Have you ever seen this before? You know, I just love them. I don't want to tell them no. No, that's not love. Can I just remind you? Love is doing right by them. Love is doing right by them. Being permissive is not a demonstration of love. A parent who is hesitant or even resistant to say no to the child is a permissive directing authority. They're not helping. And some parents I've even heard say, you know, I just want to be their friend. I just want them to like me. That's not your job, parent. That's not your job. And you say, it was my job to make them hate me? Obviously not. Your job is to give direction to them. Your job is to be a parent, an authority who gives direction, not because of how it makes them like you or not like you, but because it's what's right for them. It's what is needed. Eli comes to mind in 1 Samuel. And you don't have to turn over there, but in 1 Samuel 2, 22 and 23, Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are a mess. An absolute mess. And they are doing things of immoral nature, and it is known to the people, and it is known to Eli. And Eli knows that he could. It is fully within his authority to do something about it. Even if they're grown men, he can do something about the place in which they serve, and that they would not continue to be able to do what they were doing in that place of service. And you know what he does? Nothing. Nothing. And God judges this. God takes care of it. But it's so sad to consider, and I know it'd be a great amount of presumption to say, well, this is what he's been doing all of his life. But it certainly is something that does need to be addressed in their adult age, and that he has authority to do something with, and he doesn't. You know, wouldn't it be incredibly easier to deal with things at a young age than to wait until someone's an adult and have been permissive, and then say, why are you doing this? I would say it's a lot easier to deal with it when they're young, and that needs to be the thing that we're doing. You know, it's not loving to say, I don't want to take care of that because I don't want to hurt them. That's not love. That's not true care. It's not really love to permit sinful attitudes and actions and to say nothing about it. You know, are you willing to say that's wrong? Permissive authority says, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to hurt them. That's a wrong kind of authority. That's not what you find in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, because I believe that provokes wrath just as well as being too harsh. Permissive attitudes as parents, kids want direction. And without direction, they are going to be bitter. They're going to be hurt. They're going to be angry by it. Here's a third kind, oppressive authority. Oppressive. Permissive, neglectful, oppressive authority. Low in care, high in control. Low in care, high in control. I observe this damage often in those that have experienced toxic Christianity. Now, you say, what is toxic Christianity? Have you ever observed someone that is authoritarian but not biblical? That exists. Individuals who say they are doing what's right. We're gonna make sure you do what's right. Control, but no love connected with that. No real genuine care. That's a problem. In fact, I think that's Ephesians 6, verse 4, addressing that in particular. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The nurturing and admonition part prevents there from being this feeling that this is oppressive. That is not healthy. The oppressive attitude. And sometimes it is important for us as parents to take a step back and say, am I dealing with this in the way that would honor God? Is there anger and wrath and malice? Or as I talked about this morning, is there cutting sarcasm and satire in everything I'm saying rather than being gentle and having that meekness that is instructing those that need it? I mean, your children don't come out of the nursery hardened sinners against your direction. So you don't need to be throwing at them the kinds of strong rebuke we talked about this morning that Paul gave. You know what they need? They need consistent direction. They need consistent love. They need to know consistency from you. And Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians 3 both warn, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be, what's the next thing in Colossians 3:21? Lest they be discouraged. Discouraged. And I have seen a pattern of this that just frightens me to want to make sure it doesn't take place in my home or in yours, or that you would, and you will meet people, and I've met them recently, who I think experienced this, and it embittered them against God, it embittered them against the Bible, it is embittered. Now, they have a choice to make. Every child does. But I don't want to set someone up to failure. I don't think that's what we want to do as a church, is make kids think, well, there's no way for me to possibly please God or my parents. That is never healthy. Never. And you ought to be careful of that, parent, that you don't use oppressive authority in your home. I think this is oftentimes seen when conformity instead of maturity is the focus. It's not enough that kids be thinking, well, I just have to do what they say to do to please them, to get them to think that I'm looking right. It's about the changing of the heart. External behavior alone is not the goal. Can I say that again? External behavior. Well, I just look good. Okay, at a young age, there's a place for that, but that's not the goal. That's not the goal. I want to see them growing in maturity. Pastor Paul Chappell, in his book, Making Home Work in a Broken Society, says, the goal is not to raise well-behaved kids. It is to mature Christ-like adults.
Yes.
Let me say it again, because it's really very, very good. The goal is not to raise well-behaved kids. It is to mature Christ-like adults. Now, good behavior will be the result of maturity. It will be the result of maturity. But it's not the goal. If you have the goal of, well, they've got to look like this, then you're missing it. If your goal is, I want maturity to take place, all kinds of things will follow maturity. All kinds of good things. And things you won't have to work so hard at. Because you're aiming at the thing that matters most. What does Christ want? Parent, that ought to be on your lips and your prayers before your kids all the time. What does God want? What is His desire? That's what we want. That's what we're aiming for. And especially as your kids get into their preteen and teen years, that you're talking all the time about, we want to please God. We want to do what He wants. The reason we're making this choice as a family is because we want God to be pleased with it. We are trying to do this because it's what we think is best for you. Say that out loud. Make it clear. That's your aim. That's your goal. Because as long as that's your goal too, parent, and you're maturing in that, your kids will see that and say, I want to follow that. Can they see you're maturing? By the way, parent, you and I are to keep maturing. And adults at New Life Baptist Church, okay, every one of us ought to be a picture of maturing to our kids, our grandkids, or even kids that just look at us. from 1 month to the next, or 1 year to the next, have you matured? Ooh, isn't that a convicting thing? Well, yeah, we see maturity in these kids. You know, James is growing right now, or he's almost walking, and he'll walk whenever I'm not watching. Rascal. He'll be walking along, then I'll come in the room, like, back on his hands and knees, or be like, pick me up. But he is maturing, and you all can observe that, right? From 1 month to the next, it's just, wow, he's gotten bigger. Wow, they're growing. Or Ethan, Alyssa, Elijah, Juliana, all of them. I look at pictures from just a couple, you know, years ago, and I'm like, wow, they're growing up so fast. I'm going to be one of those crying parents soon. Oh, where are my children? I know, dad emotional moment. Okay. They grow fast. We see that maturing. But do you realize that they can observe maturity in you, Christian adult? It isn't that you're, you know, growing in size or losing hair or it's getting grayer. Not that kind of maturing. But the maturing in things where they observe your serving of God or your speaking of Him or your praise of Him or your interest in what God's doing in the lives of others, or they hear you pray, or they see you have a smile and care, or they just see you here every week or more. You know what all that is? It's not about you conforming to my expectations or theirs even. It's maturity taking place that's of a spiritual nature that can be observed. And it is powerful, and it is vital for our kids to see. And it ought be that that's your focus, which brings us to the fourth thing. Because if your goal is just the outward conformity to things, you will ruin it, parent. You'll ruin it. That's not what we're aiming for, is just an outward, I look good. What we're aiming for is the maturing of Christ-likeness. Number four, you can lead and ought lead with biblical authority, which is high in care and high in control. You can have both, high amounts of care and high amounts of control in the home. A parent who accepts responsibility to direct and does it with love will be that parent who is nurturing, who's bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I want to just have you look over at Psalm 103 for a minute, because I think that it's important to see that in Scripture, you find a number of times where God is pictured as a father. And the picture that you get of a father is the kind of picture that needs to correlate with one who is still instructing and giving direction, but one who has care. And it's important that you be a dad who is in control, that's a mom that's interested in what everything is that your kid is doing. But that care needs to be obvious. Look at Psalm 103 and verse 13. Psalm 103, verse 13. The Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. You know what the idea of pitieth is there? One who has care, interest for. Do you know that God cares for you? Oh, of course, Pastor, we know. He cares for me, he cares for you. Oh, I can't remember the rest of the song. Da, 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 da. Yeah, does God care for you? Absolutely. As a father pitieth his children. You know what that verse implies? That you know what a father should be doing for his child. And I've said this a number of times. Bible expectations of parenting doesn't mean that it always takes place, but it's what should be taking place. A father should have a care for, a pitying for his child. So the Lord pitieth and that fear him. Matthew 7, verse 9, you don't have to turn there, but the son that asked for a fish, what will the father give him? A stone? No, why? Well, because he cares for his son, he'll give him what he needs. He cares. That repeatedly is what you see throughout Scripture. And you as a dad or mom need to be the one that shows we're going to direct in our home with the right kind of authority. We're going to direct with the kind of authority that reflects, I care for you, but I'm also going to be involved in the things that need to take place. And I believe that will prevent the child from becoming bitter. It will prevent a lot of the anger and wrath that could come up in the child's heart. Does that mean every child can't still have bitterness and wrath? No. Now, that can come up because they're humans and they're sinners. But you're not to be the one to provoke that parent. You're not to be the one that brought that out because of your way of dealing with problems or parenting and authority. Joshua would be a good example of the control side. Joshua 24, verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know what that sounds like? Pretty strong control.
Yes, sir.
Here is what we are going to do. If you want to go do that, you all go do that, but here's what we're going to do. And you say, well, he's the leader of the nation. He is, but you know what he's emphasizing first and foremost? What he as a father and a patriarch of his family, even, are going to do. You know, there's a need for us to say, this is what's right. And this is what we're going to do, whether anyone goes with us or not. I just have to tell you, as a parent now, I am so grateful for my parents when I was a kid being unpopular. In the eyes of other kids in my church or other families or even my eyes at times, although there came a point where I started to say, you know what, to other kids even, I'm glad my parents have rules like they do. And my parents won't let me do that. Now, I had to be careful I didn't demonstrate arrogance and pride in my being better than them, because that wasn't what it was about. It was about my parents deciding this was what we're going to do and this is what I expect you to do, even if nobody else does it. That's important for you to do as a parent, to build backbone in your kids in a culture that does a lot of things differently than you will. You need to say to your kids, this is the way we are going to do things. And I'm not talking about like, this is how you're going to sit in church, or those are important, but that I'm talking about, you know what, we're going to have an interest in what God thinks in our decisions, or in our family, we're not going to watch this or this, or listen to this or this, and here's why. Or you're not going to have friendships with people that we don't have interaction in that relationship with if you're younger, or even as a teenager, because we care about you, and we know what God wants, and we want to see it take place. Those are things you as a parent have to give direction. And I would encourage you, pray much about the things you're supposed to direct in. And if you're not sure, and you say, Pastor, okay, whoa, I need to be giving direction, but what do I need to direct? Well, I have a lot of good resources I'll put into your hands to help you with that. If you're thinking, I just need to know some ideas of things to get at. This is a great start, Pastor, but I have no idea. I would be glad to work with you on that. So don't think there's no help available, or Pastor's just going to hand me a book and send me on my way. I won't do that, okay? There are good books to read, but if you want to ask questions, parents, you can do that. And young adults in here, or young Christians, or even kids, when you become an adult, ask lots of questions of parents who have done well at following this pattern. It really is valuable for you to ask, how did you do this? How would you recommend this? And ultimately, ask the Lord to give you direction. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That ought to be at the very top of your focus. We're going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. We're going to serve what he wants, what he desires, and knowing what is expected is part of leading. So parent, make that clear. Communicate boundaries and enforce them with love. And I say communicate boundaries because your kids can't possibly know what is right just because you know what's right. That's why those two rules are really good. Obey what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, how you're told to do it, with a good attitude. And secondly, don't do anything that you haven't done before without permission. Or anything that you don't know is okay without permission. Keep the communication going back and forth there. Warn at the same time you instruct. I know this is a simple one, but do you not see a loving Father throughout Scripture in our God, both directing, but also telling what the warning would be that goes along with that? you as a parent need to give the warning of what will happen if what you have expected doesn't take place. Not just correct it after they've messed up. Isn't that the easier thing to do? Oh, you messed up, so this is the correction you're going to get because I'm angry right now. That's not how you parent. No, if you're going to give direction to your kids, instruct them of what you want and warn them of what will happen if that doesn't follow through. And not everything needs to be this like major consequence, but there needs to be consequences, and there need to be consistent consequences. And we as parents can do that. And you may say, wow, this is not for me because I don't have kids. You know what you can do? You can pray for everyone in this church who does. You can. I would appreciate your prayers for my family, for others in this church and their families, for the young families that we may minister to in the future. And I think if you're equipped and understanding the Word of God does have answers to parenting and to the family, you will be a help to people you have conversations with. Because you no doubt will talk to someone who's frustrated with parenting or their grandkids or somebody they know. And you can say, you know, the Word of God has a lot to say about this. And you can raise children the right way. You can raise children who will know what God wants. By the way, that sets up kids for success. None of us want to see kids hindered or handicapped in any way by us. None of us. I don't want any child that comes through the ministry of New Life Baptist Church, whether their parents with them or not, to be hurt by anything that we would do or anything that we would act like. You know what I want to see? I want to see young people affected towards things that are of eternal value that they can then pass on to their families in the future. It would be great, wouldn't it, if in 30 years we saw God working through generation and another generation of young people who followed after Bible patterns, Bible methods of parenting. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to observe? Hey, you know what? You will never hit that target if you don't aim for it. So I'm aiming at it. All right, let's pray about it, okay? Father, I pray that tonight you would help us to see how we can have biblical direction given, authority exercised in our home in a way that is pleasing to you. I pray for every parent here at New Life Baptist Church and those that influence even young people on any level, that we would see what your word says and that we would live to pass that along. Help us, Lord, to especially with regard to this matter of expectations, to not be in any way toxic with our pattern by expecting people to some outward conformity without a changing of their heart and maturing of that heart. God, every one of us need to mature, and I pray that you'll help us as a church to be known for that, that we're growing more and more in the image of Christ, that we're putting off the old man, that we're demonstrating the working of the new man in us, and that your glory would be seen in all of that. And that our kids would even have a thirst for that because it's real. It's been changing of the life. And I pray that you'd be glorified in our kids, Lord, as they see and submit to your plans for them. Help us, Lord, to be firm in giving direction as well. Help us, Lord, to be steadfast in communicating. We will serve the Lord. That's going to be our focus. It's our desire. And Lord, I pray for everyone in here to see that reality as their goal, their focus. Lord, we'll thank you for how you'll give help to us in parenting and in raising of families for your glory. And I pray, Lord, if there are needs that maybe tonight this brings up or brings up questions, that there would be a willingness to seek out help and advice from your word, further counsel. Thank you, Lord, that your word has direction for us. And we pray that you'd be glorified in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.